6:50. This is 1320 WILS. I want to talk a bit more about James Comey. Dr. Herb London with us, president of the London Center for Policy Research, author of many books. His latest, Leading from Behind, the Obama Doctrine and the U.S. Retreat from International Affairs. Dr. London, great to have you on WILS.
Always a pleasure to be with you. Thank you very much.
This outrage over the firing of James Comey, do you understand it?
Well, I mean, I understand the outrage because the outrage is a manifestation of the hate Trump campaign. And again, there isn't any evidence, none that has been uncovered, and certainly some investigation has gone on, of collusion between Russia and the United States, either during the campaign or in the subsequent period.
Okay, but now we're seeing Russia somehow got involved with the French campaign, and we know they hacked, you know, the servers. Do you think that likely there may have been some connection there?
Look, the Russians have been involved. They have been involved in the past. They were involved in the United States campaign in 1963 when Ted Kennedy made overtures to the Russians to help him in the campaign and getting the nomination. They made overtures in 1960. I mean, it's not the first time that the Russians have attempted to intervene in American politics. So let's be perfectly clear about that. The second part about this is, would the Russian involvement or did the Russian involvement have any direct effect on the outcome? That remains unclear. Mm-hmm. Yes, I think there were WikiLeaks, and you could say that that's unfair, unreasonable, but was that the Russians? Again, Assange makes the point it wasn't the Russians at all.
That's what he was saying. Right?
Again, there are too many imponderables to arrive at any definite conclusion.
Does it make sense to you why James Comey had to be fired?
Yes. I mean, James Comey was inconsistent time and again. And to some degree, I think also was responsible for a lack of morale in the FBI. He became bigger than life and then became a personality far more interested in his political future than what I think was best for either the agency, the Justice Department, or the country.
What makes you say that he's so interested in his political future?
Well, again, if you listen to the July speech that Mr. Comey gave, it was an extraordinarily artfully crafted speech in which for the first 10 minutes he makes the case against Hillary Clinton, going through all of the mismanagement that occurred with a personal saver and also pointing out the fact that she violated all of the protocols in the State Department and the government. Mm-hmm. Then after doing that, in the minute 11, he says, well, but we don't really have a case against her. But he made the case against her. And he made the case by pointing to the obvious fact mm-hmm. that even if the intention was benign, intention has nothing at all to do with culpability. Right. She had violated the regulations, protocols associated with the job.
Fair enough, but when it was all said and done, it seemed like both Democrats and Republicans had a reason to hate him. Do you think he had any particular agenda in what he was doing?
Well, again, you know, do I know his agenda? I don't know what's in the mind of Mr. Comey, but it appeared to me to be quite political. And then when he was in the awkward position, and he was put in the awkward position by the Attorney General, who met with Bill Clinton in Arizona, at that point, he should have said, it's not my responsibility to be making a decision of this kind. This has been dumped in my lap, and I think it's distinctly inappropriate for the Attorney General to do so.
No.
That would have been, I think, the right call. He did not make that call. Instead, he kind of jumped at the opportunity to take advantage of this. Then after going through that exercise, then you have Mr. Comey then saying, you know what, I have discovered after all of this investigation, there are more than, 30,000 or 300,000 emails that were sent from
Anthony
Weiner.
Right, and Weiner may or may not have read
through. And Weiner's,
right.
And then after going through that analysis, and God knows, I don't know how you go through 300,000 emails in as short a period as he did, but he comes away saying, well, yes, there was some classified material, but nothing of any significance.
He said the new computerized systems work very quickly. Dr. Herb London with us, president of the London Center for Policy Research. Let me ask you about the potential of Giuliani or Governor Christie becoming the head of the FBI. The president appoints somebody who's clearly a strong ally of his, will you have a problem with that?
Not at all. I mean, look, what you want, however, is someone who would be fair, honest, and bring back what I think is incredibly important for the country, and that's the integrity of the FBI. I think it's important for people to realize this organization cannot be politicized. Mm-hmm. And whether you think Comey is political as I do or not, it strikes me that there's a perception out there that Comey was political, and as a consequence, could not make decisions as dispassionately as was appropriate.
Is there any name that comes to mind for you that you think would make a good FBI director?
Well, I think that Giuliani clearly is a person who is, in some respects, the kind of tough-minded prosecutor who was very effective in New York. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's one name. And Ray Kelly, who is the commissioner of the police department in New York, is another guy, person of, I think, great integrity, who I think would do an awful lot.
Seems like
Democrats, restore the legitimacy of the FBI.
Democrats would be crazed by that, don't you think?
Well, of course the Democrats are going to be crazed. I mean, there's no one that Trump appoints that would not upset the Democrats. And what you have here, in the case of the Democratic Party, is a party that is so hypocritical. It's palpable. I mean, you had Schumer 2 days ago getting on TV saying, you know, Comey isn't playing incompetent. He has to go. There is no question. Then he goes, and here you have Schumer in high dungeon last night saying, how dare the president fire him? Think about the timing of this. This is awful.
Right. So, a quick about face. Dr. Herb London here on WILS. What about Russia? What about what they've been attempting to do and probably will continue to do? How should we deal with them?
Well, I think what you do with the Russians is you play hardball with them. Just as the Russians are capable of getting involved in our election, we're capable of infiltrating the Russians, not the elections, because the elections are entirely one-sided. Mm-hmm. We know who's going to win and who's going to lose. But there are things that the United States can do to punish Russia, including sanctions, freezing of assets. There are lots of things that the United States can do. And we can send a message and say that under no circumstances can we tolerate the Russians' involvement in American elections, period. And I think Trump will do that if he hasn't already done so.
Do you believe that he has some kinds of interests with Russians that are somehow not been made public, that he's hiding something?
I do not believe that. I mean, I have no evidence. I'm not privy to any evidence that would suggest anything else, but I don't think that that is the case.
Dr. Herb London here on WILS. Just a couple of minutes, but we didn't plan to talk about this, but I saw the headline coming in to the show that the U.S. is now set to arm Syrian Kurds. Turkey now today threatened military action against the Kurds. Apparently they're very upset with us. Well, what do you think? Is this a good move for us in fighting ISIS?
I think it's a very good move. And the Kurds have been fighting against ISIS, certainly not the Turks. Mm-hmm. And I know that the Turks are going to be very upset. And I know that Erdogan is going to be meeting with the president next week. And there's obviously going to be a lot of tension at that meeting. But it's also true that Turkey, as a member of NATO, hasn't exactly played its NATO role effectively. And here you have the Turks now engaged in a modus vivendi with the Russians, probably providing all of the codes to the Russians that have been provided by NATO. So, again, you know, this guy Erdogan is another person who wants it both ways. Yeah. He wants us to be kind of accept the position of Turkey in that part of the world. And at the same time, when we take the position of others, because in our interests, well, those interests are undesirable.
So would you describe Erdogan and Turkey in general, would you describe that as a real ally to the U.S.?
No, I would not. I would say he's a schizophrenic. He's an ally at times and an ally and someone you cannot count on at other times. Mm-hmm. He's someone who wants one foot in the radical camp and one foot in the camp of the West. This is not someone that you can rely on.
And what is the relationship between Turkey and Russia then? How do you describe that?
Well, again, you explain it because it's become very desirable for both parties. Not that they love one another. They've had 1,000 years of hatred. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you may remember a Russian plane shot from the skies by the Turks just roughly a year ago. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's no love lost there. But at the same time, history often makes strange allies. And this is one of those occasions where you have strange bedfellows who have come together, in large part because the Russians are deeply concerned about their relationship with Iran, and whether, in fact, they can maintain their position in the Middle East if they rely on Iran. And at the same time, the Turks are very much interested in finding the strong horse in the Middle East, and that is now Russia, that controls the Eastern Mediterranean through Tartus and Latakia.
A complicated picture out there, but we'll see how President Trump deals with Turkey now. Dr. Herb London, president of the London Center for Policy Research, author of many books. His latest is Leading from Behind, the Obama Doctrine and the U.S. Retreat from International Affairs. Dr. Herb London on 1320 WILS. Thank you, Dr. London.
Thank you. All the best to you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that is it for us. Michael Cohen, producer Solomon Martin. We're back tomorrow at 6 p.m. Have a good night and talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Mid-Michigan's more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS, Lansing, and worldwide at 1320WILS.com.